Welcome back to Just Eat the Cake with your host, Mindful Mom and Nutritionist Brittany Coleman. I know it's been a little bit since I have posted a new episode. Things have gotten kind of wild, a little bit busy in my world. If you are friend or family of mine, or you connect with me on social media, you know that I recently started a new position in medical sales, which is super exciting. I am loving it, but it definitely keeps me busy along with my toddler. So life is crazy, but I'm back and I have a really good episode with you guys for today. A topic that I think is an interesting one to talk about, one we definitely need to talk about. This episode will be full of information that you might not want to hear, but you definitely should hear because I think it's important for everyone to know what I'm about to share. And that is alcohol. We are going to talk about alcohol. And yes, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Actually, I don't know that there's any good, but we'll get to that. So I hope you listen in, you follow along, you take all this information with a grain of salt. I want to preface this conversation with no judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone. I don't want anyone to think that just because of my lifestyle choices or the information I share in this episode about alcohol, that if you consume alcohol, I think any less of you as a person. That would be terrible. However, I do think it is very important that you all know the details that I'm going to share with you in regards to alcohol from a nutritional standpoint, a dietary standpoint, a lifestyle standpoint, all of the things. So let's just dive into it. So what is alcohol? Well, ethanol is the chemical that we call alcohol that is found in alcoholic beverages. And ethanol is quickly absorbed into the bloodstream through the stomach lining, and the body almost immediately begins breaking it down into chemicals that can be eliminated more easily from the body. So your body almost immediately recognizes that you've consumed a substance that is harmful and has no nutritional value and immediately begins trying to rid itself of it. The liver is the primary site for the breakdown of ethanol and begins the process within about 20 minutes of consumption. However, ethanol reaches the brain within 5 minutes and starts to affect cognition within about 10 minutes. So what is considered one drink? 12 fluid ounces of regular beer is one drink, 5 fluid ounces of wine is one drink, and 1 fluid ounces of hard liquor or distilled spirits is considered a drink. And I want to throw this little information in here real quick because I often get, well, I just had one martini. I had one drink. There are 2 shots of vodka or gin in a martini. Okay. So don't ever let someone use that as their excuse. If you've had one martini, you've had 2 shots of hard liquor. Okay. So I just want to put that out there. Now, let's discuss the definition of moderate and heavy drinking. Moderate drinking is considered not more than 1 drink per day for women and not more than 2 drinks per day for men. Heavy drinking is considered, for women, more than 4 drinks on any day or more than 8 drinks in a week. So, if you have 2 glasses of wine every night, 4 nights a week, you're considered a heavy drinker. Men, it's more than 5 drinks on any day or more than 15 drinks in a week. And we all know that you can quickly hit that 5 drink mark at, you know, during a round of golf, during a football game, you know, whatever it might be. So if you have more than 5 drinks on any day or more than 15 in a week, for men, you're considered a heavy drinker. So like I said, when you go spend 4 or 5 hours on the golf course on Saturday and you have 2 on the front 9, 2 on the back, and then come home and kick your feet up for a game and you have another drink or 2, or in a lot of cases even more, you're considered a heavy drinker. So I know that might be shocking to some of you. It was a little shocking for me as well whenever I first learned this in grad school, but that's the reality of it. Okay, and then when a woman has 4 or more drinks or a man has 5 or more drinks in about 2 hours, this will typically raise your BAC or your blood alcohol concentration to the legal driving limit of 0.08 and meets the definition of binge drinking. Okay. I can't think of a circumstance where you would have 4 or more drinks for women in about 2 hours or 5 or more drinks in about 2 hours, but I mean, it can be done, you know, maybe not so much in your adult years when you have lots of responsibilities and you work, but maybe when you're in college, for sure, right? Let's talk about what is blood alcohol concentration, or BAC. So BAC is largely determined by how much and how quickly a person drinks alcohol, as well as by the body's rates of alcohol absorption, distribution, and metabolism. Binge drinking is defined as reaching a BAC of 0.08 which is 0.08 grams of alcohol per deciliter of blood, or higher. A typical adult reaches this BAC after consuming 4 or more drinks for women or 5 or more drinks for men in about 2 hours, like we said before. So if you're hanging out at the pool or the lake or at a social event and you have 4 drinks in 2 hours or 5 drinks in 2 hours, depending on if you're a male or female, you can bet you've reached a BAC of 0.08, which is considered binge drinking. And even just one more drink can land you a DUI should you decide to drive home and get pulled over if you live here in the state of Arkansas. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But it's even lower if you have a CDL or you're a commercial driver. Your legal limit is 0.04. And if you're 21, if you register above a 0.02%, which is just one drink, you'll be calling your parents to come pick you up after you're issued a DUI. But let's talk about why is alcohol dangerous and what is acetaldehyde? Alcohol is classified as a group 1 carcinogen by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. It's in the highest risk group, which also includes asbestos, radiation, and tobacco. Alcohol causes at least 7 types of cancer, including the most common cancer types such as bowel cancer and female breast cancer. Alcohol is a carcinogen because of its metabolites, specifically a chemical called acetaldehyde. Now, you may have heard this chemical before, maybe. Probably not, but if you have, you may have heard it pronounced acetaldehyde. It's the correct pronunciation. The correct pronunciation is acetaldehyde. But acetaldehyde is a highly toxic byproduct formed during the metabolism of alcohol in the body. It's primarily produced in the liver. It is a mutagenic carcinogen that binds to your DNA and forms carcinogenic adducts. It interferes many sites with DNA synthesis and repair and can consequently result in tumor development. Acetaldehyde is formed from consuming any beverage containing alcohol, regardless of its price and quality, posing a risk of developing cancer. Basically, with every sip of alcohol beverage that you take, you're playing Russian roulette with cancer. There really is no safe level of alcohol use. It doesn't matter how much you drink, the risk to your health starts from the very first drop of any alcoholic beverage. And actually, the U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, I think is how you pronounce it, has issued an advisory calling for updated warnings on alcoholic beverages, noting that alcohol consumption contributes to approximately 100,000 cancer cases and 20,000 cancer-related deaths each year. There is also this video I found on YouTube called Acetaldehyde Chemical of the Month by Noble Training. I'm pretty sure they're a hazmat training company, and they specifically wanted to focus on acetaldehyde in this episode, and they have a really good, kind of a nerdy way to explain it, but it's a really good video if you want to go look that up. I'll put the link in the bio of this episode. So let's talk about some of the other issues when it comes to alcohol consumption, drinking and driving. Listen, people do it all the time. I mean, if I'm being 100% honest, I have done it, you know, because you think that just having a glass of wine or two at dinner and then driving home is okay. You think it's safe. The reality is it isn't, right? So listen to these statistics. Every single day, about 34 people across the United States die in drunk driving accidents. That's one person every 42 minutes, okay? That's approximately 12,429 people each year. And I guess what's so frustrating is that these are preventable deaths. Whether you are the one who takes a loved one's life, you take your own life, or a drunk driver takes your life, can you imagine the heartache, especially knowing that it was 100% preventable? And I know people, friends of mine, who have lost a loved one because of drunk driving. And I will just tell you, that is a burden no one should have to bear. And it doesn't take much, you guys. One drink, two drinks, it doesn't take much. Today, there is no excuse for drunk driving, right? We have Uber, Lyft, you can call a friend, call a parent, call me. I'll be sober. There's no excuse for drinking and driving and risking people's lives as well as your own. None. That's just the one thing that I can't wrap my brain around. Now, let's talk about how, speaking of the brain, let's talk about how alcohol affects the brain. Adolescent brains are more vulnerable, as consuming alcohol during adolescence can actually alter brain development, potentially resulting in long-lasting changes in the brain structure and function. What about those alcohol-induced blackouts? You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had a night out drinking and the next day you realize that you can't remember all or part of your evening, even just something that happened or was said? This is called blackout gaps in a person's memory of events that occurred while they were intoxicated. It happens when a person drinks enough alcohol that it temporarily blocks the transfer of memories from short-term to long-term storage. known as memory consolidation, in the part of the brain called the hippocampus. Then, of course, there's alcohol overdose. When there's so much alcohol in the bloodstream that the areas of the brain that control basic life support functions, such as breathing, heart rate, and temperature control, begin to shut down. This looks like mental confusion, difficulty remaining conscious, vomiting, seizures, trouble breathing, slow heart rate, clammy skin, loss of responses like gagging that would prevent someone from choking, which can all lead to permanent brain damage and or death. Now, I know that sounds extreme, but I've seen this. I've seen people get to this point, you know, just being in college and around the alcohol and how it's just such like a, it's like a given. There's just so much alcohol consumption and people think it's funny to get so drunk that they pass out. And when you think about it in these terms, what it's actually doing to your body and how dangerous it is, that is scary. Let's talk about some of the other consequences of drinking. What about the legal consequences? You know, like I said before, drinking and driving. I don't know why it's just kind of brushed off like it's not that big of a deal to have a couple of drinks and then get behind the wheel. It is. It is. And it is not fair to you. It's not fair to your loved ones. It's not fair to anybody else on the road. There's just no excuse for it. But the legal consequences of that as well. I mean, think about as an adult, if you get issued a DUI and that's public record, that is so embarrassing and you could lose your job over it. I mean, it's so damaging in so many ways. And let's talk about family disruptions. Okay, mamas, hear me out. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, this is a big one. As a matter of fact, I wish I had someone on here with me to talk about this because I've had so many of my girlfriends. We've had this conversation many, many times. The family disruptions that alcohol causes, it's just so not worth it. And you know what? If you want to send this episode to your guys and let them listen up, let's just have a real conversation about it. It is one of the most selfish things you can do to your spouse, okay? For you to get buzzed, tipsy, drunk, whatever you want to call it, specifically if you have kids. Now your spouse is left with the responsibility of not just the kids, but you as well. So you as the spouse who's supposed to help lighten the burden or the stress load when it comes to all of the things kid-related, all the responsibilities, now you've completely done the opposite. You've added to that because now your spouse has to be the one that's 100% on, aware, in control, and can't really rely on you. Even if you think that you're okay, quote-unquote okay, right? I'm fine. I've heard this thousand times. I'm fine. I'm fine. They say they're fine. You're not fine. We know you're not fine. We can hear it in the way that you speak. We can see it in the way that you move. You're not fine. And I'm just coming from like a mom's point of view. What that does, you know, to my anxiety, just to think that, okay, well, I don't know that he's 100%. Is he okay? Can he handle XYZ, whatever it might be? Is he going to drop the baby? Especially if he has to drive somewhere, right? Can he go run this errand? Can he do that? No, you can't and you shouldn't. And it's so selfish to get to that point, period, and leave your spouse to deal with it. And I don't mean just occasionally here and there. I'm talking about, you know, we come from a golf community. We are a golf family. Our friends groups are all golf families, and it is super, super, super common, almost expected, that when the guys go off to golf for 5 hours a day, however long, they're also drinking. During that entire time, they're drinking and drinking a lot. And then you come home, it's a Saturday, you want to kick your feet up, and you want to have another drink, and you drink until the end of the night. Don't do it. I'm just going to tell you, don't do it. Just don't do it. Put it down, all right? That's one of the most, in my opinion, that is one of the most selfish and disrespectful things you can do to your spouse. And I'm not just talking to the guys because I know some women who drink as well. Could be opposite, right? There's plenty of different scenarios and situations out there. Women who like to drink and drink too much. And I actually personally know someone who you know, lost her life. She and her best friend lost her life and left kids behind when the husband was begging her not to drink. So think about that. That is one of the most selfish and disrespectful things you can do in your marriage to your spouse. It's not fair and it shouldn't be tolerated. And I'll be the first to say it. I will be the bad guy. It's not tolerated in my household, and it shouldn't be tolerated in any household. It's just not worth it. You have responsibilities. And one of the main responsibilities you have is to respect your spouse and your marriage and set an example for your kids. And we're going to talk about that right now, actually. Why I chose an alcohol-free lifestyle. So there are many reasons I chose an alcohol-free lifestyle, but I used to drink. I didn't drink much. I've never been a big drinker. I don't like to get drunk. I don't like to feel out of control. I don't like the feeling of a hangover. I don't even like the feeling of a headache. I get plenty of that stuff, feeling like crap and having a headache just from life, you know? If I'm dehydrated, I'll have a headache. But especially now being a mom, not getting to sleep well, not, you know, waking up feeling refreshed, ready to go. Why do I want to add to that? I don't want to, as a working mom, I'm already tired and worn out. I don't need to make it worse for myself. This is the main reason I chose an alcohol-free lifestyle. If you've listened to my previous episodes, you'll know I lost my mom to bile duct cancer. She was 55 years old. She was young, beautiful, healthy, had no other health complications, didn't drink, and never smoked a day in her life, but was diagnosed with bile duct cancer, which is very much like pancreatic cancer. It is one of the worst, I would have to say, it's one of the worst cancers out there. But when we found out that she was the BRCA2 mutation positive, so the BRCA gene, BRCA2 mutation positive, which put her at high risk for certain cancers, including bile duct cancer, I also got tested and found out that I am positive as well. So what that means is I am at high risk, very high risk now, for specific cancers like bile duct cancer, liver cancer, pancreatic cancer, breast cancer, and drinking alcohol increases your risk for those cancers, especially female breast cancer. And I don't mean by just a little bit. So my thought is, okay, I don't have the cancer inhibiting mechanisms that work to prevent, you know, cell mutation from getting out of control and producing at a rapid rate, which is what cancer is. Because my BRCA2 gene is defunct. So if something were to happen, say I have cell DNA damage in my bile duct, like my mom, and I have a cell that starts reproducing at a rapid rate, it goes rogue, I don't have the cancer inhibiting gene to recognize that and shut that down. Even for those who aren't BRCA mutation positive, you can wear those genes out over time, which is why we normally see cancers in later ages. Now, in today's times, we're seeing them at much younger and younger ages, and that's because of a whole slew of factors, including environmental exposures and our diet. But even for those who don't have a BRCA mutation, when you drink alcohol, you're causing cellular DNA damage. I hate to tell you this, don't shoot the messenger, but you have the ability, in most cases, your body has the ability to go in and repair that and prevent it from turning into something serious. In my case, I don't. So for me, for sure, every time I take a drink of alcohol, it's risking my life. And I've had this conversation with my specialists. I've had this conversation with the team of doctors that are on my case. And every single one of them has just said to me, you should not drink alcohol. It's not worth it. You should not drink. So when I lost my mom in 2020, I did commit to an alcohol-free life. Now, after a couple of years went by, or a few years, I guess I should say, I got a little comfortable and I was dating a guy who was a wine enthusiast and loved a nice cab with a steak dinner. And I indulged. And then I met my husband a little bit later and we were having fun over the summer and having a ice cold beer out by the pool. So I got relaxed in my fear for what alcohol could do to the body. But then I guess, you know, after getting pregnant and going so long, you know, without alcohol and then breastfeeding and going even longer without alcohol, and then it was time for me to have my yearly check-in with my genetic counselor. And I had this conversation with her again. And I just said, you know what? You're right. Like I'm going to recommit to an alcohol-free life. And now I have not had a drink of alcohol since January, not one sip since January 2025. And I love it. I got to tell you guys, I love it because I'm sensitive to it. I mean, one drink for me, one glass of wine, and I'm going to have a headache. And I hate it. I hate having a headache. I can't be the mom I want to be. I can't be the wife I want to be. I have to suffer through work staring at a computer screen or whatever it might be with a headache. That's awful. So I don't want to do it to myself. But I have absolutely enjoyed not drinking alcohol. I know that sounds weird, but it's not something that was hard for me to give up. And honestly, I don't even really like the taste of it. If I'm being totally honest, you know, a $20 glass of wine to me, can taste the same as a $200 glass of wine. I don't really enjoy the taste of it. And I for dang sure don't like the taste of hard liquor or whiskey or any of that stuff. You whiskey drinkers, bourbon folks, it tastes like jet fuel. I did like a cold sour beer on a hot summer day. I did like that. And don't miss it at all. As a matter of fact, I've had a lot of fun just making alcohol-free spritzers, different concoctions of peach fizz, you know, with things in it that make you feel good, electrolytes from coconut water and things like that. I make a mock coconut lime mojito. So no alcohol in it, but it's one of my favorite drinks. It's so good. I sip on that all summer long. Like I said, take this with a grain of salt, okay? I mean, no judgment by this whatsoever. But I think about the example I'm setting for my son. This is a societal thing. I think it just is kind of a norm, but I don't want it to be a norm for my son. You know, we might not be handing him an alcoholic beverage, but letting him watch us drink alcohol for various reasons, what we're teaching him is, hey, this is how you celebrate. You drink. This is how you soothe yourself when you've had a bad day. This is how you relax. This is how you sleep better. This is how you cheer yourself up when you're sad. You know, you're not giving your child a drink, but you're showing them by your actions that this is what we do for all these various reasons. And I'd rather demonstrate healthier alternatives to all of those things and not really incorporate alcohol into a lifestyle. Hey, son, we're going to go golf and you just drink when you golf. That's just what we do. We drink and we play golf, you know, whatever it might be. I think about those things and, you know, that's just the path I've chosen. That is the commitment I've made to, you know, to abstain and stay alcohol free. And I love it, you know, but I still feel included. I still go to events. I still hang out with our friends. We still host. And, you know, everyone indulges and they have, you know, make their own choices. And I sip on my little, you know, mocktail beverages that I make and I still feel part of the group and everyone respects my decisions. And, you know, I hope to goodness there's no fear of judgment because that would hurt my heart. I don't want anyone to think that, you know, I think anything of them for drinking or any less of them for drinking. As a matter of fact, I'm probably thinking about, you know, I forgot the freaking load of laundry in the washing machine to throw it in the dryer. I mean, that's usually what's going through my head is stuff like that. But I do think that this needs to be a conversation. I think that people need to know the details. You needed to know the information that I've shared in this episode. And if you want more information on that, let me know. You can email me. I leave my contact information in the bio of the episode. If you know me personally, you can reach out, text me, call me, whatever. And if you decide that, hey, you know, I want to try that out. She's made a good point. I want to go alcohol free. Then share that with me too, because I would be so excited to hear that and how it's going for you. And I would love to see it become more of the norm to not drink than it is to drink. You know what I mean? It's just because I love people and I want what's best for them and what's best for their health. Yeah. But anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to this episode. And I hope that everyone is well and happy and following me along in this podcast journey. I hope you learned a lot. I hope that it is inspirational for you. And I hope you look forward to more because I will have some time to record several episodes that I've been meaning to get recorded and published. So look out for those and have a blessed week.